Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mayor on WNYC, and time was the Catholic Church felt that lust, gluttony, sloth, greed, wrath, envy, and pride seemed to pretty much encapsulate sin. But in the age of globalization, the impact of sin is felt far beyond the individual. And so a Vatican official recently gave an interview that introduced seven new social sins to the mix. These include drug abuse, excessive wealth, and harming the environment. We'll go through the rest of them. As we ask, is the new face of gluttony living in a McMansion or driving a Hummer? Here now is John Allen Jr., Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and the author of The Rise of Benedict the 16th, the inside story of how the Pope was elected and where he will take the Catholic Church. John, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Hello, Brian.
Let's see. Should we just list the seven first? So people know what we're talking about. I mentioned a few of them. Drug abuse, excessive wealth, harming the environment. Abortion is another one, correct?
Yeah, under the category of violation of fundamental human rights.
Okay, and?
Well, let's see. There's also genetic manipulation, trafficking, sort of morally debatable abuses of science. So some of these are rather specific. Some of them are quite vague.
Genetic manipulation. So that's genetic engineering. Does that include those tomatoes that I bought last week?
Cloning, save your babies. I mean, that whole cluster of genetic questions.
So what's the bottom line? What ties all this together?
Well, Brian, I think this is one of those cases which are surprisingly frequent, actually, in global discussion of the Vatican, where there's actually less there than meets the eye. I mean, the Vatican actually, the intent here was not to publish a new list of seven deadly sins. This actually came out of the context of an interview in L'Osservatore Romano, which is the official Vatican newspaper, in which a Vatican official who works in something called the Apostolic Penitentiary, which, despite its name, is not actually a jail, but it's a Vatican office that deals with sin and redemption, was asked to list new sort of categories of moral concern for the 21st century. So this label of seven new sins actually got attached in Italian media discussion and then sort of, you know, went, made its way around the world.
Uh-huh.
But you ask, what's the thing that ties it all together? The thing that ties it all together, I think, is first of all, these are all things that are seen as new issues out there that are to some extent related to globalization and scientific change. Also, many of them are social rather than individual in character, which would represent a development in Catholic theology in the mid-20th century forward, recognizing that sin has both a social and a personal dimension.
The person who gave the interview, Monsignor
Gianfranco Girotti,
who is actually second in command at what they call the Vatican's Apostolic Penitentiary, who is he?
Well, Girotti is an Italian. Actually, it's worth noting that his boss is an American, Cardinal Francis Stafford, who used to be the Archbishop of Denver and then got promoted to the Vatican. But so Girotti would be some, what's called the regent of the Apostolic Penitentiary. And as I say, this is not a prison, but it's an office that deals with special cases of sin and forgiveness that for various reasons go directly to the Holy See, that is to the Vatican. So his job, broadly speaking, is to help craft Vatican thinking on sin. And so this issue of what are sort of new sins or new objects of moral concern in the 21st century would sort of fall into his brief, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Were abortion, pedophilia, or racism specifically mentioned?
Yes, again, all under the category of what Girotti called violations of fundamental human rights. But so he did tick off those issues, pedophilia, abortion, and racism.
Is it a coincidence that the new social sins number seven?
Well, actually, if you look at his interview, he didn't give a number. I mean, he just ticked off some examples. It was actually an Italian newspaper that put them into the form of a list, called them the seven new deadly sins, and that is what has been picked up. I mean, this happens a lot, actually, that the actual Vatican document or comment doesn't excite a lot of interest, but when somebody repackages it and gives it a jazzy title, then, you know, it becomes a global story.
Now, we can take phone calls on this for John Allen, the Vatican correspondent. I guess I could say veteran Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Catholics particularly encouraged. 212-433-9692. The Catholic Church makes a distinction between venial and mortal sin. Can you explain the difference?
Sure. In classic Catholic theology, a mortal sin is one that puts your salvation at risk. I mean, mortal coming from morte, which is Latin for death, huh? Mors. And therefore, it is the most serious category of sin. It is the kind of thing for which you, again, under traditional theology, are obliged to go to confession and to receive absolution before you can receive the other sacraments, such as the Eucharist and so on. A venial sin, on the other hand, is considered something that is sinful but of lesser moral consequence, and therefore a simple prayer for God's forgiveness suffices to take care of it.
So these new social sins, are any of them proposed to be mortal?
Well, Archbishop Gilberti did not get into that. But, you know, I mean, obviously the fact that he is ticking them off in a public interview, and in this case an interview with the Vatican's own newspaper, you know, would suggest the Vatican takes this stuff fairly seriously. Now, you know, again, they're social rather than personal, so it's hard to ascertain the extent to which, or at least many of them are, so it's hard to know, you know, to what extent you, Brian Lehrer, are personally responsible for things like, you know, pollution or genetic manipulation. So, you know, parsing out the individual responsibility and who has to go to confession for it is another question. But clearly the Vatican indicates that they want us to take these things seriously.
And now, polluting, of course, is very broad. So if you buy your pollution credits legally under the cap and trade law and then pollute, well, the church is going to have a hard time deciding whether you go to heaven.
Yeah, I suppose that's something for the CEO and his confessor to work out. But, you know, I mean, it's worth saying that this whole business of environmental concern is a growing theme for the Vatican. I mean, within the last 18 months, I mean, not only has the Pope spoken about it, but the Vatican has actually made plans to install solar cells on top of the audience hall where the Pope does his Wednesday catechesis so that the whole thing will be powered by solar energy. They've also signed an agreement to reforest a section of central Hungary that's sufficient to offset the Vatican's entire annual carbon output. So it actually is now Europe's first carbon-neutral state. So this whole business about trying to take seriously kind of ecological sensitivity is sort of a new but growing emphasis for the Vatican.
Now, listeners, maybe since this is at an informal developmental stage at the Vatican, you want to propose your own social sins that might be included. 212-433-WNYC if you want to get into that. 212-433-9692. And before we finish up, we will unveil the seven deadly sins for Brian Lehrer Show callers. But we've got a few minutes before that yet. Let's talk to Vernon on Staten Island. Hi, Vernon. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Okay.
Love your show.
Thanks.
I have a comment and a question. I find it kind of a little bit absurd to take it seriously from a church that used to sell papal indulgences in its history. The question I have is, are these new sins, I mean NU sins, retroactive?
Are they retroactive?
Well, all sin, in a sense, is retroactive. I mean, the lust, for example, or pride or envy, whether you committed this 5 minutes ago or 50 years ago, from a moral point of view, or at least from the point of view of traditional Catholic theology, doesn't really make any difference. So I think the Vatican's claim would be the fact that Girotti has now said that pollution is sinful doesn't mean it wasn't sinful before he said that. It simply means that they've now publicly proclaimed it. Do you want me to say a quick thing about indulgences?
Since he brought it up.
Question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, an indulgence in, you know, what he's talking about is the Catholic Church historically takes the position that most of us don't die as saints. Most of us die with some sins on our blotter, and so we've got to spend some time in a place called purgatory before we can actually make it to heaven. And the theory is that the saints have generated such an excess of merit, that is, so much more grace than they actually needed to save their own souls, that the church is in a position to apply some of that sort of surplus grace to people like you and I who need the help in order to shorten our time in purgatory. Where they've gotten into trouble over the centuries is that sometimes they have actually put those then in that instrument to forgive sin is to forgive the punishment due to sin is called an indulgence. Where they've gotten into trouble, sometimes those things have been on sale. I don't know if you know this, actually, but history's first advertising jingle was coined for the sale of indulgences in Germany in the 15th century by a Dominican preacher by the name of Jonathan Tetzel, and the jingle went like this. When the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Now, subsequently, of course, the Catholic Church has come to see the idea of selling indulgences is dubious, and they don't sell them anymore. But they certainly do continue the practice. And this office, the Apostolic Penitentiary, is the one that's in charge of all of that.
I like the jingle, and away go troubles down the drain.
Yeah, exactly.
Brenda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a traditional Catholic, so today's Holy Thursday. And I plan on confessing these sins, and I'm looking forward to my pastor just falling on the floor laughing.
Meaning when you go and say, I polluted today.
Or I littered, or I breathed, so I added, to...
Carbon.
I don't know. I think a lot of us laugh. I recently, on Saturday, was at a one-day retreat where actually these little silly sins did come up, and we just all died laughing because we find them so secular.
Secular?
Yeah, we find them very secular as opposed to just trying to follow the commandments and do good. It's very hard to put it all together. So a lot of us kind of just dismiss them.
Yeah, but some of these, if you look at them in a social context, in all seriousness, contributing to widening the divide between rich and poor, creating poverty.
Well, that's very funny. Why the gap between rich and poor? What would we do? Have less rich people? I mean, that would diminish the gap.
Well, John, what do they mean by that?
Well, the Vatican has a sort of 800-page book called the Guide to the Social Doctrine of the Church, where they lay out in some detail kind of their vision of how this gap between rich and poor ought to be overcome. Broadly speaking, the kind of soundbite is that the global economy ought to be at the service of the human person rather than the other way around. And if people are being excluded from the new wealth being generated by globalization, then something ought to be done about it. I think it's probably important to say that when we talk about these quote-unquote new sins, that actually I think the Vatican's hope is less that people at an individual level are going to go into confessionals this Holy Week and confess these sins, than that this will be a vehicle for starting a global conversation about some of these issues. That is, how do we do a better job of protecting the environment? How do we do a better job of taking care of the world's poor? How do we ensure that new developments in bioethics don't actually diminish our humanity rather than enhance it? So I think the point is to spark conversation rather than to, change what happens in confessionals.
Now, here's Carol in South Salem who wants to propose, I think, an opposite bioethical sin. Carol?
I don't know that I would say it was opposite. I, as a lapsed Catholic who had a great deal of trouble staying Catholic, specifically because my church became so irrelevant, I richly applaud this development where it seems there's an interest now in these global issues and social issues. And certainly in terms of that, it seems to me it should be a mortal sin to fail to practice birth control.
As opposed to a sin to practice birth control.
There is no sin in practicing birth control if what we're considering sinful is things that are contributing to the demise of our planet.
You mean overpopulation?
That's right.
Well, John, how far down the road to birth control specifically did this category of bioethical violations go?
Well, Archbishop Girotti didn't address the issue of birth control, but I would say if people are waiting for the Vatican to change its position on that question, then it's probably going to be a long wait. Both the previous pope, that is John Paul II, and the current pope, Benedict XVI, have very publicly and clearly reaffirmed this sort of traditional Catholic position that what the Church calls the unitive and procreative functions of marriage, that is, the function of marriage to bring two people together in a loving union and the function of marriage to produce new life, that those two things belong together, and that birth control upsets that apple cart. So, you know, whatever one makes of that, and I understand a lot of people disagree with it, but whatever you make of it, I don't think there's any indication that that's going to change.
Greg in Park Slope, we've got about 30 seconds for you. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
All right.
I'm a practicing Catholic in New York, and I just wanted to say that, like, New York Catholic is not necessarily representative of all Catholics, and I think people assume that if they're a born Catholic here in New York and they don't attend church or if they don't really know, the Catholic Church has been so involved in this sort of mission of social justice for so long now. There's groups like Catholic Relief Services. They've been involved in microloans in third world countries. I mean, there's just so much going on. And sort of understanding that philosophy is never really captured well in a simple soundbite or a simple statement about what the Church says. You know, like the
so you don't like the
gospel of life.
You don't like to the reductionist checklist, basically.
Yeah, it's so much more than just a checklist. It's
yes.
You know, this is an extension of the overall philosophy of the Catholic Church.
And John, I think as you were trying to communicate really throughout the segment, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this interview and this new list of sins is, in fact, as your caller indicates, it is nothing but an extension of what has been a kind of deep and growing social engagement of the Catholic Church, which reaches back at least to the 19th century and the early papal encyclicals on the economy and so on. So, but it is true that, you know, the Church's teaching on these questions is rich and it's complex, and it is hard to boil it down into a catchy soundbite. So, whether this business of the new seven deadly sins, you know, works as a kind of theological concept or not, at least it has us today having that conversation.
Right.
Maybe, therefore, it served its purpose.
About the category of social sin. Now, our producer, Kate Hines, has come up with the seven deadly sins for Brian Lehrer Show callers. You ready? One, calling from a bad phone line. Very bad. Two, calling while driving. Bad and dangerous. Three, calling about the previous segment, bad and inattentive. Four, asking me or the guest, how are you? A waste of the time, bad. Five, rambling on air. Six, telling the screener one thing and then saying another on the air, for shame, for shame. And seven, demanding that the screener take your comment about the Leonard Lopate show. Bad, 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 bad. So those are the seven deadly sins for Brian Lehrer Show callers. I guess we should post them on the site, Kate. Maybe we'll do that. And John Allen, Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
And the Pope is coming to New York next month, so we'll have you back to preview that. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.